got a million ways to get it.
Oh, yeah, we do. The Monty Show. Good to be with you. Find me on Twitter, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Yeah, why don't you, double your stack and get on to the next one, Jake?
Yeah.
LeBron James is on to the next one. He's the highest paid NBA player again on and off the court. We'll talk about those numbers because they are freaking ridiculous. So we got to talk about that. We have got to get to this Josh McDaniels debacle. We have got OKC Golden State. We have got Lonzo being pregnant. We have got the Big Bang Theory versus God's creationism. Like, we have got all kinds of good stuff going on, Jake.
Yes, sir.
So we should probably get to work. I love this song.
It's a great song, man. Now I rock a
telesuit, looking like a and it is
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, and it is
on to the next one.
I love it. I use my cojones. All right, speaking of cojones, how about Josh McDaniels pulling out on the Indianapolis Colts in a stunning turn of events on Tuesday? Josh McDaniels was hired as the next head coach of the Colts until he called them back and said, hell no, I'm not coming. And it is at a point now where it is so bad that his agent has fired him. Are you surprised by this? What do you think happened exactly?
Well, I mean, I believe the story that's been put out. I think it's pretty accurate. I think McDaniels walked in there Tuesday expecting to clear his stuff out and head for Indy. And Belichick said, hey, look. We're not going to let you go. We're not ready to let you go. I'm going to give you deeper access to what we do. I'm going to give you a look into roster management. I'm going to teach you how to do that. I'm going to teach you how to handle a salary cap and understand the way money works in this organization. And essentially what he did was, is he said, hey, look, I'm going to groom you. I'm 65 years old. I've been to 8 Super Bowls. I've got rings. Like, I've done what I needed to do. I need to find my replacement now. And I think this is a clear sign that the Patriots in the next 2 to 3 years are going to move on from the Belichick-Brady era and into the McDaniels era.
Yeah. Where are you at on the decision itself? Did Josh McDaniels going back to New England, is that the right decision? Did he do the right thing? Because I have no doubt he did the right
thing. For him, it's the right thing. For what it says about him and his reputation, it may not have been the best thing, but you can't really worry about that when you're in his position. One of the reasons he said he wanted to stay in New England was for his kids. He's got 4 kids. They're all young. They're like 12, 10, 6, and 3, I think.
Yeah, youngsters.
He's got 4 of them. And he said one of the main reasons he said was he wanted them to stay in the same school system for an extended period of time. He didn't want to transplant them to another city. He didn't want that to happen. So I can respect that. I can also respect the idea that you can't tell me that some of this is not that he wants to stay in a winning culture. How are you walking away from the opportunity in 2 to 3 years to be the head coach of the New England Patriots?
Well, my view on this is a little different than that. Why did you allow him to go and interview for the job in the first place? Why did you not go to him and say, hey, you know, Bill's not going to be here forever. This is a guy that is going to retire. Why don't you stick around? Well, they let him do that because he hadn't benched Malcolm Butler yet.
Mm-hmm.
The Super Bowl hadn't gone to hell in a handbasket yet.
Yeah.
I think Josh McDaniels is only back in New England because of what happened in the Super Bowl. And I think there is significant dissent in that locker room. And I know we talked about this on Monday.
Yeah.
But I think there is significant dissent in that Patriots locker room. I think that the Butler benching really probably pissed off Robert Kraft.
Well, how could it not rub some people the wrong way?
Oh man, I don't know. I think it's an impossibility. I don't see how. My point is this: listen, Bill Belichick his time there is limited.
Yeah,
I would not be surprised because Josh McDaniels is not going back there to be the head coach of the Patriots in 5 years.
Yeah,
he's not.
Right.
My guess is 2018. Is probably Bill Belichick's last year. He is going to teach McDaniels salary cap, draft, player personnel, free agency. You know, he's going to teach him all of that because Josh McDaniels knows how to write a game plan.
Yeah.
He knows how to design offenses.
On the field, he's good. It's all the other stuff.
It's exactly right. So I kind of look at this very differently than most people. I think Bill Belichick nearly got fired. And I think there was probably an ugly conversation. So when Josh McDaniels comes back to Foxborough to clean out his office, Belichick and Kraft, who were pictured at dinner on Monday night, clearly had a difficult conversation. And they said, okay, well, when he comes back to resign, we're going to tell him, hey, here's our plan for you. And if McDaniels doesn't take that plan, I think there's a chance Bill Belichick's not the coach of the Patriots today, is my thing. That's just my opinion. I don't have anything that says that that's factually what happened.
Yeah.
Nobody does, to be honest with you. But if you look at the jobs that are out there, by the way, the Colts job is pretty crappy.
Yeah.
The Colts job, A, they don't have a quarterback. And yes, Andrew Luck is still their quarterback. But don't tell me that Andrew Luck is a great option at quarterback. They had to put down more rumors today that he needs more shoulder surgery. They said, no, he doesn't. They don't have a quarterback. Their defense is strictly average. They've got a crazy wackadoo owner in Jim Irsay. So I don't look at the Colts job as a good one. In fact, if I look at all the jobs that were filled this offseason, Arizona's a better job. The Bears in Chicago.
Obviously.
They still have never replaced Ditka, but you know whatever I'm saying. So Matt Nagy, good luck, stud. Detroit's a better job. The Giants are a better job. Chucky and the Raiders is a better job. I think the best hire of the offseason after John Gruden was Mike Vrabel in Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's a better job.
Yeah.
The Colts, to me, is not a desirable football team.
But to a guy who's coming from a coordinator position, that might be a desirable position because it's a step up in his career.
I disagree with that. And I think... the interesting part here is that Josh McDaniels' agent is also the agent for Chris Ballard, the Colts general manager.
Yeah.
That agent fired Josh McDaniels today. Fired him. Said, I'm not working with you anymore. Now, they've had an on and again, off again relationship, whatever. It's interesting to me that the agent told Josh McDaniels, you're committing career suicide. And I'm trying to figure that line out. Like, what part of going back to New England to be the next head coach of the Patriots, the heir apparent to Bill Belichick, who's been there 18 years, he's gone to 8 Super Bowls, how is there anything about that that's career suicide?
I'm not too sure. I don't know what the explanation is for that. In fact, I can make a pretty good case that going to the Colts to be the head coach of that franchise, I mean,
yeah, me too.
That could be career killing. I mean, if you don't find success there, number one, mentally it could be career killing. I mean, maybe he loses faith in himself when they lose a lot. I don't know. You know, some guys struggle with that.
Yes.
Number two, you as a head coach of a football team, you receive all the hate, all the criticism. The whole thing is your responsibility. So McDaniels hasn't really had to, you know, wear that yet. And I think that would be a big step for him. So I think, why would you not go back and get mentored by arguably the best head coach this game's ever seen?
Yeah, and a guy who knows how to do that because, as you saw in the two Bills, he openly talked about the fact that Bill Belichick talked about the fact that Bill Parcells gave him opportunities that really enhanced his career. And Josh McDaniels went to Denver and fell flat on his face.
Yep.
So going to Indianapolis, he was going to lose a lot of games. I think he did the right thing. But a Periscoper asked an interesting question. What is the best NFL job for a head coach? What's the best job in the NFL? How is it not the New England Patriots? I mean, for job security, it's probably... the Pittsburgh Steelers, they don't
probably
fire head coaches.
Yeah.
But Belichick, I think Belichick's been there 18 years. That's pretty good stability.
But
they've won,
but
they've spent
but
money.
But he's won.
They've been
he's
shrewd.
Out of mind.
Yeah, he's won. He's been to 8. I think they've won 5.
Yeah.
He's had the best quarterback in the history of the National Football League. It's a pretty good job. But if I look at the other jobs, like Buffalo's a crappy job. The Jets is a crappy job.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers is a good job. The Ravens, that doesn't excite me. Cincinnati, no. Cleveland, hell no. Jacksonville, small market.
Yeah, small market. I mean, that would be a good fit for a guy like McDaniels, a younger guy. That would be a good fit.
Tennessee, Indy, Houston.
Houston's a good spot.
Houston's probably a good job. Tennessee's got a quarterback. Houston doesn't.
Houston's a good job if Deshaun Watson comes back strong.
AFC West.
Highly
Chiefs?
Competitive.
Chiefs is a good job.
Highly competitive.
Chargers. Chargers
not
is not
job.
A good job.
No.
Raiders.
Good job. Not available, though.
Higher profile job.
Yeah.
Denver Broncos. Good job. NFC. I think all the best jobs are in the NFC outside of New England. Philly's a good job. See, I think Dallas is not a good job in the NFL.
Nah, you're in a tough spot there. You're in a really tough spot there because because Jerry Jones is such an out front owner. He is he's just so far out there with everything, it makes your life impossible.
Washington Redskins. Nah. I'm good. Giants? Yes, that's a good job. Yeah. Vikings? Indifferent. Lions? Indifferent. Green Bay Packers? Very good job. The Chicago Bears? Terrible ownership.
Yeah.
I think it's a mediocre job. The Saints? Carolina? Atlanta? Very good job.
Yeah, good job.
New stadium? Good owner. Yeah. Tampa?
Could be. Has the potential to be.
Could be. They haven't had a good head coach since probably Tony Dungy. They've been blowing through guys down there. Yeah. The Rams is a good job. Seahawks is a good job. Cardinals is not a good job. I just think with the current general manager in Arizona, they're terrible at drafting players.
Yeah.
I think the 49ers is an okay job. That stadium is a mess.
Yeah.
Their owner, Jed York, is a mess. But if you do it right, you're going to win. And I think Kyle Shanahan might be the right guy. I think there's a very small amount of great jobs. I think the best job in the NFL is probably New England. I think Philly's got to be there. And other than that, Pittsburgh certainly is there. There's probably five great jobs in the NFL.
Five great jobs, but this is what I'm saying. I think it's less about – I mean, yes, certainly a huge factor in any place you go is the recent success, the ownership quality,
yes,
their ability to draft players, because that's who you are as a head coach, what you have to work with. But in my opinion, I think for a guy like McDaniels, a lot of this comes into, okay, well, what direction am I taking my career? At some point for him, the next step is being a head coach. So if he's not afforded that opportunity in New England, he's got to go get it somewhere else, regardless of what the situation is at some point. But the other side of that is he's young. He can burn time here. He's got time on his side.
You're going to be the next head coach.
So that's what I said.
But why are we still debating this?
No, but
this is a no-brainer for Josh.
He went back because he's young. He's got time to sit there and learn. He's the clear heir apparent, and it's one of the best jobs in the NFL. It's not like he's going back to the Browns.
Hey,
it's
by
the Patriots.
By the way, before we leave the Super Bowl behind altogether, remember everybody talked about how low the ratings were and nobody watched and it's bad and this is huge.
Nobody ever watches.
It's Donald Trump. And, well, somebody forgot to tell Justin Timberlake that because Justin Timberlake's song during the halftime show rose 534% in digital downloads tracked by Nielsen Music. The NFL, which does not pay artists, but pays production cost and expenses. He did not get paid like a straight salary for that. The song Timberlake sold most of on Sunday, Can't Stop the Feeling. 8,000 downloads. That's amazing. Other songs that saw bumps during the game included Until the End of Time. What the hell is Until the End of Time? That saw a 3,000% bump in downloads. Something called Mirrors saw 2,000. My Love, 1,100. Cry Me a River. Oh. I'll never do that again.
Thank you.
Cry Me a River went up 1,100. Rock Your Body, 1,100. Suit and Tie, 1,000. Bring Your Sexy Back, $9.95, and You Filthy Animal. Filthy was up 122%. In other words, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah.
One other Justin Timberlake question. Britney Spears, his ex, or Jessica Biel, his current?
Biel.
No, Britney Spears.
Biel, dude.
No way. Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake back in the day? Come on. They were dripping.
That was your generation.
They were dripping
sex
appeal.
That was your generation.
Have you seen Britney Spears lately?
It's your generation, man.
Come on. And Jessica Biel's not my generation?
She is. But I'm just happy to pick her over Britney Spears.
Yeah, because you're being a jerk.
I'm not being a jerk.
A little bit?
No.
Maybe?
No.
A tad.
No.
Speaking of being a jerk, Russell Westbrook had a good night last night. Jake went to bed at like 6 o'clock last night, so he did not see...
So you can't make inflammatory comments like that without explaining it.
What, inflammatory?
We get up at
inflammatory comments
every damn day.
Inflammatory
and you want me
comments.
To stay up and watch the whole game? And that ain't happening.
I just want you to
and
watch
you know
some of the game.
Happening?
You went to bed at like 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Okay, I went to bed at 8:45.
No,
first of all.
The sun was still up.
No, it wasn't. I went to bed at 8:45, and I went to bed before Russell Westbrook flopped and got a fake foul. And
before Draymond got ejected, before technical before all fouls the drama all over happened. The place.
Yeah.
But what you missed is the Oklahoma City Thunder beating the Warriors by 20 in Oakland.
What do you say about Paul George? Because I think he's now I feel like to win, Westbrook is going to need somebody to run with him. Not because I'm slighting Westbrook, but because of how strong the West is and because of the Golden State Warriors, you got to have a running partner. And I think people weren't really sure what Paul George was going to be, and he's delivered the goods. I mean, absolutely been everything they need him to.
What does that mean?
He shut down Kevin Durant for them. I mean, Kevin Durant had a great night offensively.
Very good night.
But when he needed to shut him down, he did. And then he is a scorer, man. He's got one of the best mid-range games we've seen in the NBA this year. So
Kevin Durant, 30 minutes, 8 of 14 from the field, 3 of 8 from 3, 14 of 15 from the free throw line, 33 points, 6 boards. That's a pretty good night. Now, let's talk about real good nights.
Yeah.
Okay. Paul George was 11 of 23, 6 of 11 from 3, and had a 38-point night, including 6 steals, 5 boards.
See, his defense is what gets him those points, right? Because that's where he gets a lot of easy buckets from.
And this is the Golden State Warriors. This is the best team in the NBA doing this against.
In Oakland. Yeah. He's doing it because him and Durant matched up. That was his matchup all night long.
Are the Warriors just desperately in need of the All-Star break like everybody's saying? I mean, this is not the team that I know.
I mean, they're 41-13. I mean, they have nothing to be worried about, but this is not a great showing at home. I mean, you can't
lose. They lost 7 games at home.
I know.
That's a lot.
It's a lot for them. It really is a lot for them. And I would have expected a much closer game. I mean, I think it's interesting. Last night, Carmelo goes out with an injury while I was still awake, by the way. 6 minutes. I was actually able to see that.
Right, but you were sucking your thumb at that point.
Right. Anyway, moving on. Melo went out with an injury. This team is better without Melo on the floor. When it's Westbrook and Paul George and Steven Adams, those three are on the floor, they're a deadly team.
Well, and I think the guy that benefited a lot from Carmelo not being there is Jeremy Grant.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he is blossoming into this superstar. But having said that, they're not better than Golden State.
No.
And here's the real conundrum. You're putting together a game like this where you get 38 from PG, you get 34 from Rush, you get 16 out of Grant, you get Steven Adams giving you 14 and 10, and this team's not going to be together a year from now.
Yeah.
And I think it's terrible for the NBA. I don't know how do you fix this. My gut instinct still tells me that Paul George is going to the Lakers. That I can't get away from that.
It seems like a natural fit.
It does. I think it absolutely does. And the thing that I struggle with here, if I'm Paul George, I'm not staying in Oklahoma City. It's probably better for his career to stay in Oklahoma City as a scorer, Russell Westbrook does a lot of things for you. My question is, what is Paul George as the number one on a team? He was good in Indiana. Has Paul George ever played this well before?
No. No.
I think he's playing with arguably...
I don't think he's had the talent he's had now.
He's playing with arguably the best, at least one of the best big men in the game right now in Steven Adams.
Yeah.
Who I think is really helping
him. He's right up there.
Russell Westbrook is getting everything that he wants. And he's making better. And frankly, Paul George is, I think, turning into one of the best defensive forwards in basketball.
Two-way player, man.
He's manning up guards, forwards. Like, there's no pick and roll that he can't switch on. Like, I mean, this guy is doing everything you want him to do.
If Paul George can play the kind of defense he played last night, does that put him above Klay Thompson? Because Paul George's all-around offensive game is superior to Klay Thompson, but Klay is a better shooter. A raw shooter, Klay's a better shooter. No doubt about that.
Paul George is shooting 43% from three.
Right now, I know, but like, who are you picking in with the three ball? It's you're picking Klay.
Well, Klay Thompson.
So that's what I mean. So,
but if you're asking me if I want Paul George or Klay Thompson, sorry, man, I gotta go. Paul George.
Yeah.
I mean, he is turning into an elite basketball player. He's giving you numbers, shooting 45% from the floor. Again, 43% from three. 82% from the line. He's scoring 22 points a game, which is not a career high. It's not special or unique. But Paul George, I think, is becoming that next best player in the NBA. And I never thought I would say that. I don't think, and this, I guess, depends on what you think of Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
This, I guess, depends on what you think of LeBron James and Steph Curry. And, you know, is James Harden in that group? I mean, how close is Paul George to the best player in the NBA? All around, he's got to be top two or three. I mean, you can make a good case
for him.
All around, he's a better player than...
Last night, he showed he was right there with KD. I think he's... LeBron is still better than Paul George.
He's better than Harden.
He's better than Harden. All-around player, he's better than Harden.
LeBron or Paul George?
I mean, you still got to go with LeBron, even with the tribulation he's had this year.
Curry or Paul George?
I think you got to go with Paul George right now. But overall, I would take
Curry. Durant or Paul George?
I think probably
right now.
Last
today.
Night, Paul George. Career wise, KD. Paul George's defense.
It's not
is
an
superior.
Easy. It's not an easy question to answer. He's light years past James Harden defensively.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing to talk about. But I think Paul George, you think about the best players in the NBA, Kyrie or Paul George?
Kyrie.
Really?
Yeah.
So is Kyrie Kyrie's the best player in the NBA?
Kyrie's done it alone.
Is Kyrie the best player in the NBA?
He's right in the discussion.
Well, and I'd remind you that Paul George did it alone in Indiana, too. I mean... You look at his career in Indiana, I mean, his best numbers
were... But when
were,
you're talking about best... Yeah, right now, Paul George is right up there as best player in the NBA. Does winning matter in this discussion? Yes or no? Does winning...
No. No.
Well, then I think, yeah, I mean, you can put him right up there in that conversation, but he's not better than LeBron.
You cannot let go of the winning
thing. Because when I'm comparing him to LeBron James, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, best player in the NBA. LeBron's been able to do it with other players. He's also been able to do it pretty much alone earlier in his career. So I'm thinking, okay, well, Paul George can clearly do it with other players. Can he do it alone, though? Could he do it with him and, you know, four other guys in the East?
Did it in Indiana. Yeah. I mean, who...
He beat LeBron, you know, when LeBron was with the Heat.
You look at his best years in Indiana, and they were not great teams. I don't know. I think there is a real discussion to be had for Paul George to be the best player in the NBA. I think there's also a real discussion to be had about these guys are blown out right now. I think Golden State is out of gas. They've played a lot of basketball. I think the Cleveland Cavaliers, beyond the fact that roster is horribly constructed, I think LeBron James is tired. He looks like a guy that's not getting up and down the full 90 as easily as he did.
They were talking about this on ESPN this morning, and I can't remember who it was, but they were saying that the whole team is tired because the whole team's been to the finals for like 5 years in a row. That's not true. The whole
That's
team
not
hasn't
true. They
been
haven't
to the
been.
Final.
Yeah, this
Jay
is a
Crowder
new team.
Jay Crowder hasn't been to the finals 5 years in a row. LeBron James is pretty much the only one who's been there five years.
Well, JR's played a lot of playoff basketball. Crowder's played a lot, but not nearly as much as the other guys. Kevin Love has been there. I look at Derrick Rose. I look at Iman Shumpert.
Derrick Rose hasn't played. I mean, the guy's been hurt.
Well, but that's my point. Yeah. This is not a guy that is in top physical condition. I look at Tristan Thompson.
You think he's still building his stamina? You think he's still working on that? I mean, has he even been back 10 games
the
yet?
The guy just doesn't play. Derrick Rose does not play a lot of games. I mean, he's played 15 games this year.
Yeah.
15 games, he's averaging 20 minutes a game and 10 points a night. Like, I want to say that Derrick Rose is still a guy to be reckoned with in this league, but I don't think I can do that anymore. Like, I just don't. I think this roster is incredibly flawed. You've got a bunch of guards trying to play against power forwards and centers. LeBron has to do everything or nothing gets done.
Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas is nothing short of an absolute train wreck. I look at who are the real contributors on this team? The answer is I don't know. J.R. Smith just cannot be J.R. Smith because of the way he's used.
He can't. J.R. Smith is not a number two on a team. He's the guy. He's the guy that plays with two central figures, right? You like D. Wade, for instance, when they were in Miami. If you had Miami D. Wade and LeBron right now playing together, and they had that setup, J.R. Smith could be that third guy that gives you the dagger three.
You're not going to win when Isaiah Thomas and Dwayne Wade and Jeff Green and Derrick Rose are your third best player. You're not winning.
Yeah.
LeBron James is still giving you elite peak performance. He is still at, I think he's still at the top of his game. But he's tired, and when you suck, it's a lot easier to make a lesser effort.
So how much does these guys playing in the Drew or playing summer ball of whatever variety come into this?
Boy, it'd really bother me if I saw LeBron playing in the Drew. It'd really bother me. DeMar DeRozan wants to play in the Drew. Knock yourself out, sir. J.R. Smith wants to go play in the Drew. Knock yourself out. LeBron, Kyrie, Steph,
Harden.
Kevin Durant always plays in these odd games. Carmelo's the guy that plays in a lot of these games. I can't see you doing that. If I'm Golden State, I don't want Steph playing in those games on those ankles. No, I'm good. If I'm the Lakers, if I'm the Jazz, I need Donovan Mitchell playing in those games.
Yeah.
If I'm the Suns, I need Devin Booker playing in those games.
Which he did.
But if I am the Cavs, LeBron James comes to mind. Curry comes to, like, there's not a whole lot of great basketball teams right now. Like, I'm there's sitting not. Here saying to myself, who are guys that I don't want playing in the Drew? And I'm like, damn, dude, I can't really think of a whole bunch of guys.
So
where
just,
I'm like,
just think of the best players in the league. So you got LeBron James, KD, Steph, Kyrie. Those guys,
can't play in the Drew. James Harden can't play in the Drew.
Although James Harden is a guy who does a lot of that.
Giannis?
No, if on the Bucks, he can't. He can't do it.
See,
dude.
In this,
he is, can work out in a closed facility as much as he wants. He's not playing in the Drew.
What about a guy like Kristaps Porzingis? Tore his ACL last night.
Well, now he's definitely not.
That's what worries me.
Yeah.
But here's the problem: they're basketball players. They're going to play basketball.
Yeah.
And I'm good with that. But I don't want you playing. I don't want you playing street ball. These high-level pickup games, I'm good with that. There are gyms all over the world in the summertime. If you follow Carm, if you follow...
Russell Westbrook does it sometimes.
Russell, Paul George, Devin Booker's a good one. If you follow your favorite basketball players...
DeMar
DeRozan. You will see them... Lonzo Ball did it this summer.
Yeah.
You will see them playing in high, high-level pickup games where LeBron's on one side, Kyrie's on another, Russ and KD. Like
Kobe did it early in his career.
Yeah, you'll see that caliber of player show up in gyms on top of high-rises in New York playing pickup games, working on this, working on that. I'm okay with that. Don't go play in the Drew. Please don't blow your knee out doing a reverse between-the-legs dunk. Please don't blow your knee out trying to Euro step some dude that's a scrub and he fouls you and you blow your knee out.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Go play against professional basketball players. I just think a lot of these teams, I think these guys are just straight out of gas.
Yeah.
I think the Cavs, I think the Warriors are dead on their feet. That's a team that needs a week off. Jeez Louise, man, look at LeBron's team for the All-Star game. He's lost Cousins, Love, Wall, and Porzingis now. All of those guys are out for extended times. Cousins, Love, and Porzingis, essentially Love, is out for the year.
Yeah.
He may come back late.
Yeah.
Wall's out for another month, I think. But Cousins and Porzingis out for the year. Team LeBron, like, is there anybody having a worse, terrible, awful year than LeBron James? And no. I'm not asking you to feel sorry for the guy.
Everyone's due.
But I want to see the Golden State Warriors take the All-Star break off. Go home. Steph Curry won't be doing that. I need Steph Curry to get like 48 hours of sleep in 50 hours. Like, get out of bed to take a leak and then
they
go right back to bed.
They need the maintenance big time. maintenance. Stay, you know, like, stay off your feet. Just chill. Like, whatever.
By the way, before we get on to Barry Bonds and his jersey retirement, Lonzo Ball is pregnant. Well, his girlfriend is pregnant. LeVar's got another prodigy, man. LeVar's got another prodigy.
Prodigy.
I got to tell you, this is not the worst plan in the world. Because Shaquille O'Neal, who's Shaq's kid, is going to college next year.
Right, he's got Shaq's bloodline, not Ball's bloodline.
What, LeVar Ball was a...
Who?
Guy.
Who?
Ho?
Yeah.
There's worse families to be born into than Shaquille the Ball
Shaquille O'Neal
family.
Is a beast.
He is a beast. But being Shaquille O'Neal's kid is not easy. Can you imagine being LeVar Ball's grandson? That can't be easy. Lonzo seems like a pretty chill guy.
Yeah.
Now, if LaMelo announces that his Lithuanian Gumar is pregnant, I'm going to be like, okay, come on. Come on, this is a problem. But I'll be interested to see.
He better play for 10 years in the NBA.
Well, that baby mama money is not cheap.
It ain't going to be cheap.
It's not cheap.
Better get a prenup.
We won't prenup. LeBron James is the highest paid player for the fourth straight year at $85.3 million, by the way. Yeah. $52 million off-court endorsements.
Solid.
That's incredible.
Solid.
That is incredible. Kobe Bryant was the last player to out-earn LeBron James, which is incredible.
Beat him in another category.
That, I mean, it's amazing. Steph Curry's number two at 76, by the way. Kevin Durant's three at 58.
Isn't that amazing? There's such a fall-off there.
You kidding me? Anyway, I know we've talked a lot of basketball. Let's get to Barry Bonds. The Giants announced this week that they're going to retire the number 25. Your thoughts?
Horrible. Horrible. Sets a terrible example.
Well, really, you're a huge Giant homer.
Oh, I am.
Like, you are a San Francisco Giant guy through and
through. I love
through.
That Lincecum's trying to come back.
Orange Friday, like,
yeah, man.
The whole nine.
The whole deal.
You wear the golden studded thong, like,
everything.
The whole thing.
Banana hammock.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
And you don't want them to retire Bonds' number. Why?
Because it sets a terrible example. I mean, yeah, again, he was never caught to cheat.
Right.
Everybody knows you cheated. Everybody.
Okay. I don't think that's in doubt. I seriously, I don't think
so
that's
in doubt.
So
my point is that you're retiring a jersey number of a guy who cheated, who's the home run king, and it's just, I just don't like it. It tastes bad. It looks bad. It's crap on the wall, dude.
He's arguably the greatest offensive player in the history of baseball.
And you cheated to do it.
Well, that was why. I think if we're talking Hall of Fame, by the way, he'll be the only Giant with his number retired who's not in the Hall of Fame.
Again, that's what I'm saying, though. You see what I'm saying here? Like, he's not done it the right way. You didn't do it in a glorified way. You did it in a way that's cheating. It feels wrong to me.
Are you retiring the 55 at some point? Probably not. He won multiple Cy Youngs through multiple no-hitters. You're probably not retiring
championship.
That number. Championships.
Yeah. I could see that,
Matt
but
Cain.
His case isn't great. Yeah, I would. I would.
Because 28 for Buster Posey.
Buster Posey is a
surefire Hall of Famer.
He is, for sure, 100%. I think once he gets in the Hall of Fame, yes. If he wins another ring with them, for sure. Like, no doubter.
If the Giants... retire your number. I mean, you're minted gold.
Where are the Giants at as far as organizations go?
Oh my, they're one
like
of the,
I, obviously they're
one,
they're
of,
one
the
of the
best,
best, but
they're one of the best run businesses in the world.
Right, I understand that side of it, but I'm talking about like, are they in the Yankees era? Let's say the Cubs era. Like, are they one of those organizations?
In terms of what?
Like, in terms of greatness. In terms of, hey, this is a great example of Major League Baseball.
Yes.
Of who you want to be like. I mean, is it...
Fuck, are you kidding me? If I could get the Cubs to be run like the frickin' Giants, I'd take that every day.
Yeah.
The San Francisco Giants... And my brother and I have had this argument on a routine almost frequency. I'm telling you that the San Francisco Giants, for a decade, were the blueprint.
Yeah.
They didn't go out and sign Alex Rodriguez to play third base. They developed Pablo Sandoval. They did it with Buster Posey, Tim Lincecum, Matt Cain, like guy after guy after guy after guy, and all they did was win and win. And they finally did one thing that put them from being a great organization to being an elite organization. They got past Barry Bonds. And they did that by exiling Barry Bonds and not having him appear with Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, like all of those legendary Giants.
So, and I agree with you, but if that's okay that they did that, then how is it okay that now, however many years later it's been, that they're retiring his number? I mean, do you like that they're retiring his number? Because it sits wrong with me. But you could call me a purist of the game. I don't like guys being rewarded for cheating, and that's what I think it is.
I don't hate it. I wish he would. I wish they kept with the standard that he had to be in the Hall of Fame. It's clear to me they're doing this because they thought Barry would get in the Hall of Fame. And when he didn't get in the Hall of Fame, Larry Bear said, you know, to hell with it. We're retiring his number. And I understand why. Barry Bonds changed Giant baseball forever.
Yeah.
He built a ballpark. He captured a country. Right? Like, I mean, yeah, Barry Bonds was it. He just did so much for that organization. I understand why they're retiring his number. It just is one of those things where Barry Bonds, there's always going to be a large portion of human beings that dislike him. Because he when he was a player, he was not a likable human being. Like, I'm not sitting here telling you that he's a terrible person because he put needles in his arm. I don't know what he did. Fuck, man. I have no idea if Barry Bonds, truly, I know about grand jury testimony and I don't know what he did. And I'm not the guy that sits here in judgment. Sammy Sosa is a disgrace to the Chicago Cubs. Is Barry Bonds a disgrace to the San Francisco Giants? No, he's not.
No, I mean, he didn't get to that level.
He's not.
He didn't get to that level of disgrace.
No. Is Roger Clemens a disgrace to the Yankees? He is.
A-Rod?
He's an embarrassment. Alex Rodriguez is an embarrassment. Like, he should have been the best third baseman in the history of baseball until he was, you know, until he lied and got caught lying and kept lying. And I'm not saying Barry didn't lie or what. Barry Bonds is not, for whatever reason, Barry Bonds is not the disgrace that Sosa, that Clemens, A-Rod, that the worst of the worst, the Ken Caminitis of the world. That's not who Barry ever was. Was he an asshole? Yes. Did he have a TV in his locker? Yes. Was Barry impossible to deal with? Yes. He's also the best pure offensive baseball player I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I don't love that they're retiring his number. But I also don't hate it. I guess is where I come down on it. You know, I know that's probably a cop out, but it is what it is. Manny Machado or Bryce Harper in 2019? You can only buy one. Who you buying?
Harper.
Cubs are going to buy him for $400 million, I think. Would you pay Bryce?
If I'm the Cubs.
Would you pay Bryce $20 million bucks a year? $30 million a year?
20 for sure. 25 for sure. I'm not going past 30. I mean, I just can't see it. Because if you look at financial structure, it doesn't make sense. At some point, because for me, the way I evaluate a player when it comes to money is, okay, does your value justify $30 million a year?
Has Bryce Harper earned $40 million a year over 10 years? How do you say no? Who's the best player in baseball right now?
That's an opinion-based discussion. Bryce is right there for me. He's right there for me.
Versus,
but
who?
A lot of people say Trout.
Is Manny Machado? Manny Machado's
he's
not.
He's one of the best players in the game.
Hell no.
He is.
I don't think he's top 10. I don't. I think I can read you numbers. And Chris Bryant or Manny Machado?
Bryant.
I'll take Chris Bryant. He's not even the best at his position. Give me another right fielder you'd rather have over Bryce Harper. I can't think of one either.
Yeah, but I think it also needs to be said. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I think it needs to be said that there are way more qualified third basemen in that discussion than right fielders. So
that needs to be said. But isn't that to say, okay, better hitter. Who's a better offensive player than Bryce Harper?
I suppose it depends what you want. I mean, you could say that Trout's in that discussion, but I think it's for home runs, for doubles, for absolute RBI production, it's Bryce. Bryce is the best.
One swing of the bat.
Yeah, I would say Bryce has proven to be clutch. I would agree with that. I mean, we watch him all year long, and I'll watch him all year long this year.
I struggle.
And to back that up, Bryce's value up even more. Two seasons ago, when he had the whole neck thing that was holding him back from hitting well, and then he came back this past season and proved it, that adds immense value for me. Because it wasn't a down year for him just because it was a down year. He was hurt. He was playing hurt, and that much was clear because he backed it up.
Yeah.
So that adds to his value. I agree. He is probably the best right fielder in the game. He's a good – he's I don't know his defensive numbers off the top of my head. I know he's a plus defender. He's obviously a plus hitter. And base running, he's pretty solid, too. So
I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, I'm thinking of a... you know, who are the best guys? If you're looking at Carlos Correa, if you're looking at... I mean, just the best guys. I mean, who's the best player in baseball right now? It's not Mike Trout. I just don't get that. Mike Trout is a really good all-around
player. Carlos
Correa,
for me, is right up there because he does so much for you.
It's close, man. I'm telling you, but I'm looking at numbers, and I just... it's hard. It's hard to pass Bryce Harper. I don't know how you would pass him.
You can't slide him throwing. He's got a cannon.
Man, yeah. You know, a lot of people will tell you, like one person on Twitter right now on Periscope is saying Paul Goldschmidt. Well, you're clearly an Arizona fan.
He's not in Bryce Harper's atmosphere. It's just not the same.
Yeah, Bryce Harper. I think it's Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, Correa. Does Jose Altuve belong in that discussion?
Yeah. Yeah.
Based on what?
He can hit. He's a great defender. There's all kinds of reasons.
Giancarlo?
I have a lot of trouble with the idea that Giancarlo Stanton's a plus defender. He can throw, but because of his size and the way he's built, he is so muscular that he is not nearly as agile as a Bryce Harper. But that's a great comparison because they both play right field. So who'd you rather have? Would you rather have Giancarlo or Bryce Harper? I think Bryce Harper does more for you, and I think Bryce Harper has proven to be more clutch. Now, the counter argument to that is, well, 50 home runs. You're getting 50 home runs from that guy, just book it.
Right, but the problem is, I don't need the ball to go out of the park. I need it to go over the wall, right? Like, Giancarlo Stanton is, that's cool if you want to watch him hit balls out of a baseball stadium. That's neat and everything.
But
I just need it to go over the wall.
I mean, he's hitting more home runs than anybody else in the game.
But he's not hitting as many doubles. He's not a triples threat. He's not a guy that can dink a ball into left field or right field.
He's not a great hitter. He is a power hitter.
Yes.
Bryce Harper is a complete hitter. Oppo, you know, doubles, dinker over the shortstop, anything you want, he can do it.
1v1. Manny Machado or Nolan Arenado.
Machado.
Ooh.
Machado.
It's tough. Machado or Chris Bryant?
For me, Chris Bryant. Because Chris Bryant, I was... The Machado versus Arenado discussion, Machado separates himself because he can play shortstop. He can play third base. He's more agile at third base. And in my opinion, he's faced better pitching than Arenado has. Now, Arenado sees Kershaw and Bumgarner all the time. But still, in my opinion, I think the American League is more loaded with that. When you compare Manny Machado to Chris Bryant, the defensive thing goes away because Chris Bryant plays just so many damn positions on the field.
Chris Bryant or Justin Turner or Machado or, I mean, like, who?
Justin Turner.
I'm a Cub fan, and I think Chris Bryant is the best third baseman in baseball. But I think Nolan Arenado is better than Machado and Turner. You know, and I think, by the way, there's one infielder you need to be talking about, and that's Trey Turner in Washington.
Yeah.
Because that kid's coming. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I know he's a shortstop and he's a young shortstop and whatnot, but Trey Turner's coming.
Turner or Seager?
I'm starting to worry about Corey Seager's health.
Well, there is that.
I'm starting to worry about his ability to stay healthy. Because when he's healthy, he's truly a difference maker. I really like him, but was Cody Bellinger not more important because he played more games and was in more bigger situations?
He was.
Like, Cody Bellinger played a bigger role late in the season for the Dodgers than Corey Seager did.
Yeah.
Because he was hurt, and I think that's a storyline. I mean, I don't know, man. I think there are a lot of guys that get overlooked in these conversations. Goldie's one of those. But I just put – there's guys – again, I put guys into tiers and groups and, like, LeBron, Curry, KD, you know, those guys are in this little sphere of their own. Tom Brady and Joe Montana are in this little sphere of their own. I'm telling you that Chris Bryant, Bryce Harper, I want to say that Nolan Arenado's in that group, Paul Goldschmidt's in that group. I think they're a cut above. Like, Manny Machado, there's just...
Dude,
I love the guy.
He can make every play.
Well, that's great, but I need him to make every play, and I'd rather have him be a shortstop than a third baseman.
He would rather be a shortstop.
Well,
it's not his fault they won't play him at shortstop.
No, but why won't Baltimore play him at short? And why won't Baltimore make him one of the highest paid players in baseball for an extended period of time?
No payroll? They don't have the payroll? Well, I'm being serious.
Come on. If a team doesn't want to pay you, you're a superstar. You're your team's best player, and they want to trade you instead of pay you long term. There's a problem with that. Why did the St. Louis Cardinals let Albert Pujols go? Because the end was coming,
and it's come.
So who got stuck with the bill? Artie Moreno and the Anaheim Angels. And I would say, by the way, if the St. Louis Cardinals don't think you're still ready to go and they're not handing you a huge contract, there's something wrong with you, not them.
Yeah.
And I think Manny Machado might be in that same group. You know? It'll just be
interesting. He is immature. For sure. He's shown a lot of that.
I don't think there's any doubt that I'm taking Bryce Harper over Manny Machado. And
yeah.
if I'm the Cubs, I'm happy to hand him a 10-year, $40 million per, $400 million 10-year contract. Happy to. Because he's gonna bring that back to you.
I'm just telling you, you better be happy with the last 3 to 4 years of that contract being an absolute dog crap.
If I get 5 championships in...
He doesn't guarantee 5 championships, but I think he guarantees
you. He guarantees
you
that you're going to keep that core together. Because if Bryce Harper and Chris Bryan are on a team together, they're not breaking that up.
Yeah.
And that pretty much tells you that you're going to keep Riz there, you're going to keep Contreras there. Like, you're going
to
keep...
You need
core
to keep
guys
like 5
together.
To 7 players together
and
to
the,
do that.
The Chicago Cubs have that and will do that,
yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm happy to hand him a 10-year, $400 million contract. Happy to. In fact, I if you ask me, there will be 3-4 teams that will line up to do that. The Yankees, the Nationals, the Cubs. You know, this is the difference, by the way, between the Cubs and the White Sox. And I know I'm an asshole Cub fan, and my brother tells me this all the time. And man, I curse too much. Like, I don't even plan to do that. It just happens. Anyway, point being, my brother tells me that I'm an asshole Cub fan all the time. And what I say is, this is the Chicago White Sox will never line up to pay a guy a $400 million contract. They'd rather not. It's why Chris Sale is not a Chicago White Sox anymore. And I get it. You're rebuilding. Knock yourself out. I'm never trading my franchise player.
Yeah.
I'm not trading Chris Bryant or Anthony Rizzo. I'm not trading Wilson
Contreras.
Do they
ever see free agency?
Not with Theo Epstein as the general manager and president, by the way, Jed Hoyer, GM. Not with those two guys there.
Yeah.
Not with the family that owns the Cubs. If Chris Bryant ever plays in another uniform, I'd be stunned.
Yeah.
I'd be just stunned. Stunned. By the way, God or the Big Bang Theory?
God.
So you're a creationist.
Yes.
So am I. What's the Big Bang Theory, though? You say that you told me today, oh my God, holy cow, oh my God, there was a big, big change.
So, mad scientists with all their money were using satellites to scan the bottom of the ocean, and they came across
mad
a portion
scientists.
Of the bottom of the ocean where they apparently they found ripples of like fortified magma, like old lava. Hardened, and the way it hardened apparently suggested that there was a larger event that happened other than lava just coming out of the vents at the bottom of the ocean. Like,
okay.
That there was some kind of, they have some kind of proof that the way it spread out and hardened shows that something like a 6 mile wide asteroid hit the Earth 66 billion years ago or whatever it is.
Do you buy it?
I don't. I have trouble with that. I mean, I'm not saying it's out of the question that an asteroid could hit Earth. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is I need more proof than just lava laying the wrong
Look,
way.
Look, Kyrie's already told you the Earth is flat,
yeah,
so
where
it's
you
a
at,
big square.
Where are you at, Kyrie? I don't hear you right now.
What about your SpaceX story? Like, SpaceX shot their Roadster, the Tesla Roadster, in the space, and now they apparently they're just too big. They're too strong because they're on a trajectory to go past Mars.
Yeah, their initial goal was to reach Mars, right? The trajectory that they were able to get puts them past Mars, like deeper into space. I mean, that's just typical SpaceX, right? Like, gotta go bigger and better.
Because they're bigger and better than you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So I just think it's awesome that they're able to do that. I mean...
But wait, you're still telling me. You're still telling me that you would not go to space.
Not doing it.
Man, I think I would. I'm not going to Mars. I'm not doing that. But if you're telling me I could go to space for a day, I think I would do it.
Like if you could go to the International Space Station.
I would do it.
For like 3-4 days.
I know my wife would do it. My wife is a huge explorer. By the way, my passport is expired and we're going to Ireland in March. So now I have to go spend some quality time at the post office with those two.
Nice. That'll be fun.
Anyway, point is, yes, I would go to space. Real quick. Would you go and attend a parade that Donald Trump is going to put on for the military? And the way the White House is spinning this is not a made-up story. This is not fake news.
Watch CNN.
Donald Trump wants a military-style parade with tanks and rocket launchers and missiles and big guns and soldiers marching in straight lines.
Why?
I don't know. This is what Russia and Hitler's Germany and North Korea, and this is what those kind of governments do.
This is what dictatorships do. And I'm not saying he's a dictatorship, but this is that style of leading.
This I don't know why he's doing
it. This is him trying to flex and trying to say, well, our army's bigger. My nuclear button's bigger. Like, it's not great. It's not how you lead. Because when you're the president, we're supposed to be above that.
Yes, we are.
We're stepping down by doing that. And that's a huge problem.
Yeah, we're supposed to be better than that. Way better than that.
It's a huge problem.
I promise tomorrow will be better than this. Follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show. Say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake. Killing with a plethora of cunts. And you can bet I give the credit to the blunts and the drugs. All of that said, you can still find me up in the club. And I'm an animal. Nobody wants a beast in the camp. Revving this engine pedal to the metal, reaching the ramp. Put him in ICU when I see you. Be sure to salute. I'm ready to die. Don't ask me why, nigga. Just give me the loot. Tell him I got it. Got him. It's gotta be fading to black. Stumbling out to midi. Throwing up the snake in the back. Now bring it back. One step to the right, lit it up in the lights.